You may have some more folks come in. We've got a few out sick tonight again. We're glad to see you in the service tonight. Let's all stand together and get your hymn book now so we can be ready to sing here. And so everybody stand. Let's all stand up where you can sing out good. And Brother Tim will come and lead us in a song.
115, I Must Tell Jesus. Good song for Wednesday night service, 115. Sing together now.
I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for His own. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. Cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me. Jesus alone.
Let's pick it up just a tad, and we'll sing the second verse and then the last.
I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind friend. If I but ask Him, He will deliver, make up my troubles quickly and end. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus.
Tim. 254. The little chorus says, His name is wonderful. I love that old chorus we used to sing. I remember one of the first choruses I ever learned in church was this little chorus at camp. And we sang a lot of these choruses at camp. Many of you folks remember back when you were younger in your younger days singing these choruses. And I love these little choruses. So let's sing that 254. His name is wonderful.
His name is wonderful.
Amen to that. He is wonderful. Is he ever less than wonderful? He's not even kind of wonderful. He's just wonderful. Amen. I appreciate that. Good to see you out tonight. Good crowd for a Wednesday night. And we do have a few folks. Miss Ramona's still out with her back. She's having such a hard time with that. Joaquin got some kind of a stomach virus and came home early from work, and so if he did that, you know he's sick. And Sabina, I talked to her a few minutes before church, and he was just had a lot of nausea and things, and he was asleep when I called, so I told her not to wake him. But he's just probably about worked himself into a frazzle. But for Joaquin, because we miss him when he's not here. I tell you, it's kind of not the same when he's not here with us. But anyway, pray for him and some others that just battling with some illnesses and things. And then good to talk to Miss Bot, her daughter-in-law, Donna's at home. Finally got home from the hospital and doing okay. But still want to be praying for Keith Bledsoe and Jim Clower. Viola Cook, my brother's mother-in-law, Miss Hunter, went home, and she's at home now, and so they're going to do some in-home sort of rehab and things with her. But you continue to pray for Miss Hunter, if you would, and then Sean Crane. I think Lee and them are in Seneca, where their daughter lives, and went up there. So they sent me a text that they'd be there this evening, so pray for them as they're traveling, okay? All right, any other prayer requests before we pray? While we're just going to conclude everything in our prayer here. Anybody got a prayer request you want to mention? Oh, everybody's good. Everybody's all prayed up, packing up, getting ready to go. That's that song, ain't it? Yeah. All right, let's pray then. Father, what a joy it is to be in the house of God on Wednesday night. Lord, my family and I had a wonderful opportunity to go be in a service last night. In Hartsville, and what a joy that was. And now back at our home church tonight, we're just so excited about opportunities to worship God in churches where people believe and preach as we do. And Lord, it's always good to go to those places and feel the fellowship with other saints of God in other places. But Lord, as I've said many times, there's nothing like home. We're glad to be here at Anchor tonight. Good to see the folks out here this evening. Appreciate folks being faithful and wanting to serve God and really just telling God, hey, I'm going to do my best for you because you deserve our best, that's for sure. So, Lord, I appreciate so much folks coming out on Wednesday night. I do pray for the sick, Lord. You know who they are. You know their needs. Folks are traveling, as we mentioned, so God, please do a work. And those who are just out, they just, for whatever reason, maybe don't think Wednesday's important or they got busy with other things. Father, I pray you'll help them to understand the importance of not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. It's so very important that God's people be present and God's visiting in the house. And so I pray that you'll bless us in the service tonight, the special music, the congregational music. Please have your way there. We pray for our brethren, preacher brethren, and missionaries around the world who are preaching and teaching tonight or sometime in this general time frame around the world. We pray, God, for those that are preaching the Word of God, the gospel, that they'll get souls for their labor. Lord, we love you tonight, and we're so glad again to be here. Bless the remainder of the service for thy glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, come on, Brian. You got announcements for us?
Tomorrow evening, 6:30, is the Ladies' Jubilee meeting right here at the church. So all you ladies plan to attend that. Then the service at the Waterford is tomorrow evening at 7. So I hope you can make your way to that one if you're not going to the Ladies' Jubilee planning meeting. Saturday, the youth choir practicing from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. So hope to see a big crowd there of young people wanting to sing. They'll be singing Sunday morning. So y'all be here for that so you can hear them worship the Lord through whatever song they choose. Also, Saturday is a young adults class outing at Brother Tim's. That'll be at 6, I think. So those of you involved, I think, know about that. And then Sunday, we'll be back here for Sunday school at 9:30. I think it's the last Sunday of the Baptist history. Is that right?
Oh.
Every time it's the last Sunday, he says two more. That's how it goes. Not quite done yet. That's all right. All right. Just a promise this time. Okay. So the second to last lesson on Baptist history will be this coming Sunday. So make sure you're here for that if you're a part of that class. And then don't forget Sunday night coming up. We're having a church-wide fellowship after the service. It's a monthly thing they're doing, and this will be the week for it in March. So Sunday night, make sure you come to church, first of all, on Sunday night, and then stay afterwards and eat a little while in fellowship with us.
All right, and I need kind of a final count of people that are coming to the young adult. And if you need child care or not, so you let me know as soon as the service is over. We've got a couple possibilities, one on this side of town and one over toward West Columbia and Lexington. And so we've got it all arranged. If you need some help with that, though, let me know. And let me just tell you, the neighbors across the street said we can park in their yard like we always do. And the neighbors next door said if we need to have the food lines, we have room. We have a small house, but we can go next door and turn around. All right. Number 78, when we all get to heaven, let's stand and sing together. Number 78. Sing out now.
Sing the one.
sing the third, let us then be true and faithful. Good challenge for us. Let
us then be true and faithful.
Take a few minutes, have some fellowship.
Thank you so much. If you'll find your seat, we'll continue on with the service. Glad to see folks shaking hands and smiling at one another. Sure beats fighting, don't it? Amen. All right, come on, ushers. We'll take care of our offering this evening. And I hope you'll be involved in everything that we have around here. Summer's coming up. By the way, don't forget this Saturday night, turn your clocks up 1 hour. Up 1 hour, that means you lose. You supposedly, I wish they just put it somewhere and just leave it. I understand why they did it back in World War II because of the daylight, you know, being able to keep business open. And plus, it was daylight longer. It helped against air raids and things like that. But I don't think we have to worry about air raids. They shoot missiles. I mean, that's just the way it's going to be. So I reckon we don't have to worry about all that. But anyhow, don't forget now to, if you don't, then you'll show up for Sunday school and to be preaching time, or you'll show up for what you think is preaching and we'll be done. But I've got a plan. Always got a plan. If anybody comes in after the morning service is over thinking they're getting there on time, I'll just have another service. It'd be all right, wouldn't it? I mean, a lot of these churches have two Sunday morning services. Why can't we? Yeah, I see somebody right now, you're setting your watch back right this moment, aren't you? No, just be sure you do that before you go to bed. I guess there may be people do it. I don't know. I can't imagine anybody waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning change their clock. You know, I usually do it a day or two by my alarm clock that I used to get up with in the morning. I always turn that thing up a couple days beforehand. You know, just because I just want to make sure that's the one. I don't want to be wrong. So anyway, but don't forget about that. All right. All right, Brother John, pray for the offering, would you please?
Amen.
song. I will serve thee.
Was that a Gaither?
Yeah, I thought it was. All right, well, before Pastor comes tonight, Bethany's cousin.
He's all I need when I just need someone to talk to. And he's always there to hear my prayer each time I call him. All my needs he will supply. My thirsty soul he'll satisfy. He's the Lord of all, and he's all I need. He comforts me when I'm weary, eases every pain. He fills my deepest longings time and time again. He's my soul's inspiration, my heart's consolation. He's my everything, and he's all I need. He's all I need. I dare not turn to any other, for he's my friend, and he's a friend that's closer than a brother. And on this friend I can rely to be my strength as life goes by. For he's the Lord of all, and he's all I need. He comforts me when I'm so weary and eases all my pain. He fills my deepest longings time and time again. He's my soul's inspiration, my heart's consolation. He's my everything, and he's all I need. He's all I need. Oh yes, he's all I need. Oh, he's my everything, and he's all I need.
All right, thank you, Bethany. Good song. Another one good for Wednesday night, especially. Well, get your Bibles ready. Now as the pastor comes.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Tim. Every time I hear a song like that, I think about Brother Rice. Brother Rice, he always sang, Christ is all I need. If you never got a chance to go when he was in the nursing home down in Beaufort, you always knew what room he was in because you could hear him. He'd be singing out loud, could not carry a tune in a bucket. But I'm telling you, it didn't make no difference. And I tell you, it was a blessing. You'd get in that room and you'd feel like Jesus was in that room. He'd get up and pray 2 or 3 hours every morning. He had 2 or 3 prayer lists. The church that he pastored, a prayer list from there. Son's church that is in Beaufort had a prayer list from there and one from here. And he would show us that. He'd get up and pray. My, what a great man he was. I sure wish he was still with us. I sure wish he could have been here and enjoyed this with us here. 1 Peter chapter 5 this evening. I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. I'm going to just pray because it's simple. And I think it's a good warning, a good scripture or passage of warning. The scripture itself is extremely knowable. Most of you have heard it so many times. We begin in verse number 1. 1 Peter chapter 5, if you'd like to stand with me, please, if you're able, in deference to the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 5, we begin in verse number 1. It's page number 1315, if you have a Scofield Bible. Verse 1 said, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, we all know that's Christ, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom ye resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same affliction are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Father, we love you tonight, and thank you for the word of God, and I pray that just these simple thoughts tonight will be a help to all of us as we leave here. We go out into this world that we must live in. We don't have to live like, but we have to live in it. Lord, we know that Satan is out there waiting every moment and in every turn and every place. Either he or his minions are out there waiting for us to try to trip us, to deceive us, yea, to even destroy us if he can. But Lord, it's important that God's people, from the oldest Christian to the youngest child, begin to realize and understand that the enemy of the human race is not the police, not the fire department, not the president, it's not the pastor, but it's the devil. Lord, we need to make our families aware that he is busy trying to destroy the family. Lord, I pray that you'll bless this, our hearts, for just a few moments, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want to, just for a few moments, I mentioned this, as I said, a couple of weeks ago. I'm going to preach on this thought, some things I would do if I was the devil. Some of you are going, we already know that. Well, aside your personal feelings, let's do a little supposing here. Things I'd do if I were the devil. Now, even though the thoughts I wrote down here are certainly supposition, I mean, I'm really not the devil. I hope, how many of you agree with that? Oh, I see. It's not unanimous. That's bad. Even though the message is pure supposition and just a picture, if we can, I want to give you seven things that I... Let me say it this way. Seven things that the devil is doing right now. I was going over this again this afternoon, and we all know about the verse in verse 8 that says, he walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I've heard messages on the lion and the character of a lion and how they do and how they prey on their prey and all of that sort of thing. And I really just thought about just this. You think about the devil as a roaring lion, as someone who is skulking, who is stalking their prey. We all know, I hope you know, if you don't, you can trust me on this, Satan is not omnipresent. Only God has that character. Only God can be everywhere at once. Satan cannot be everywhere at once. So he has demons. Now, we know that God has angels. And the Bible said in Hebrews 1 that they're ministering spirits. I believe in a guardian angel. But I'm telling you that God also is there with us. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And that does not, he's not telling us that I've got an angel there in my place. When Jesus said, lo, I'm with you always, he meant him. We understand that. Satan cannot be everywhere at once. But he certainly is behind the attacks. He is certainly behind. You think about a lion, pack of lions, or whatever you call that, pride lions. And, you know, the lady lions do most of the work. The lady lions, you're going, uh-huh. I mean, they even do all the hunting, unless it's something that's too big for them. And so then this large male lion will get involved. But in every instance, when they make a kill, he eats first. Hallelujah. I hope when I come back as something else, I'll come back as a male lion. Just kidding. Azariah, you're not laughing tonight. What's going on here? Okay. You think about a lion who is praying, who's stalking, and what do? They pray. In other words, they look for their instinct is to hunt. Then what they do is they usually, and I don't know how they, God puts this in them, not Mother Nature. God created them this way. Even though there may be several lions in a pride who are hunting, and they have a plan. They, first of all, pick out. They can be scattered over over an entire acre of ground, but somehow they all know which one to go after. Usually it's a younger animal or one that may be sickly, but they have a plan. They pick someone. They have a plan because it's a known fact that they sort of divide up into hunting party. And so what happens is some of the pride of lions will go on either side of this herd, whatever it might be. They'll have two, always two, never three or more, not one, but always two of these female lionesses who then sort of separate a little and they start going, and you watch them how they creep in the grass. They always know to be downwind their prey because an animal has such keen sense of smell. So they always know to be downwind, but they get down, they crouch down in that grass, and they begin to creep up on the herd. Now they've already got in mind what they're going after. So what happens is then the two lionesses who are creeping up will then bolt and start to chase. And what happens is, it gets that herd so excited and nervous, they literally are almost scared to death because they know what's coming. And so they scatter. And when they do, a lot of times the one they've chosen will sort of either be left behind or kind of not be able to keep up. Well, the other lionesses on the outside are kind of like shepherds. They keep them all together. I mean, and they all do this in rhythm and rhyme. I'm telling you, that the world didn't just explode and those lions knew how to do that. I'm telling you, God put that in them. And so then when they finally get the one they're after, they'll chase it down. And of course, there they are. But it's all, you know, they've got a purpose. They've got to pray. And once they get them, and I just use this word simply for alliteration, they pulverize them. I mean, the one lion that has the opportunity will grab it around the throat or the back of the neck if it's running and bite through their spinal cord so that the animal will fall down because it's paralyzed. Then they will grab it around the throat and suffocate it. And of course, then, you know, dinner's on, you know. But that's the way. Yeah, and I there's no question of all the animals in the animal kingdom, and a lot of them hunt in a similar way, but none with the cunning and the skill of lions. And so it's not coincidental. And Peter was not an animal lover. He was a fisherman. So this is not something that Peter wrote down from his own experience. It's pretty obvious that God gave him this and said, we're going to use a picture of a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So Satan is not just out here kind of going back and forth and helter-skelter. He's got a plan. He's got a pick. And when he can, he will pulverize. Destroy. The Bible said, even to the deceiving of the very elect. If he could, he'd get us. He'd love to get rid of us. Because we're the world's only hope. Get the gospel message out. Now, Christ is the hope. But we're the means by which that hope is being conveyed. And so, what then? And some you think about this. Either you've already experienced it, maybe even today, or sometime, or you're going to. And we need to teach our young people and our children to be careful, to watch out. You know, if I go somewhere where there's an animal and I don't know that animal, I'm not going to be too excited about getting involved with it because I don't know what it thinks about me. So I'm not going to give it any opportunity. But now if I know that it's, either I know that it's docile or I'm big enough, bigger than they are, that I could hurt it if I had to, you know. That's one thing. The one thing that we ought to teach our children, and this is not a joke, and this is not just a, really, that's so obvious. We have forgotten how to tell our children and grandchildren, stay away from the devil. Stay away from the devil. Now, mom and dad, as we just told you Sunday, it's our responsibility to keep an eye out for them. But still, they need to know what they're looking at when the devil's coming. They need to be aware. That's what mom and dad said to watch out for. And so here, I want to give you these quickly tonight. Seven things that Satan will do to hinder the Christian family at Anchor Baptist Church. Number one, turn to Genesis 3 and verse 5. We're going to look at some scriptures as we go. And again, this is all simple stuff. I wish I had something deeper. Sometimes folks go down deep and come up dry. Sometimes the best water's close to the ground. So Genesis chapter 3 and verse 5, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, where Satan deceived Eve. In verse 5, there's the culmination of the lie. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, that your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. God did not say that. God said, if you eat it, you're going to die. Same thing about being gods. And you'll notice, if God who made Adam and Eve, now think about this. When you and I got saved, we became the children of God, didn't we? So when my children sign their name, now that they're, you know, Bethany's married, so she's a Kraut now, but when she was with us, no, and Andrew the same way, when they would sign their name, they would sign their first name, and then the last name identified they were. And it was all, and it, at least this is the way we were taught in school, it started with a capital letter. Because it was a noun that identifies. So it should always be done. One thing, and I am not, please do not, if you're watching on live stream, I am not criticizing the King James Bible. Not at all. I believe it's the Word of God. One thing I would love to see the publishers do when they print it, and there are some that do. I know one Bible group out of Lansing, Michigan do this, and I like it. And when I write, if you look at my notes, when I write notes or any reference to God or Jesus or the Spirit or he or him or his, I always, even when I'm writing notes, capitalize the first letter. Because it's a word of identification. So notice that here Satan says, now if we're the children of God, should we not be willing to sign our names with the right identification? Now, of course, we don't sign our name, Rick Jehovah. Don't do that. But you'll notice what he said in verse 5, for God doth know that the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as little g gods. So obviously, if God, if his intention was if they were to eat, then they would become us, wouldn't he use a capital G? Are there any other gods but Jehovah? Now, Satan presumed there to be other ones. He said, you'll be as gods, plural, little g. Our God is God, singular, with a capital G. So there's the deception. Satan uses the right words. The right word is God. But he doesn't use it the right way. A lot of folks use a Bible, but they don't use it the right way because it's not the right Bible. They use the right kind of preaching, but the message is not the same. So you see, there's a problem. Satan, he wants to cause doubt. He wants to cause doubt the wisdom of God. Satan said, hath not God said, you really think he said that? You know what he really did say? He said, you can't eat that fruit because then you'll be like gods. He never said that. So listen, Satan wants to, even through religious material, you better be careful what you accept from religious groups like the Watchtower. If the Jehovah's Witnesses come to your door, you know what the Bible says? Don't even bid them Godspeed. It says if you do, then you are a co-conspirator with them. You're actually okaying what they're doing. And I know people say, well, I don't want to be mean. You don't have to be mean. You don't have to shoot at them. Well, get that junk off my porch. I'm not talking about that. Just say, I'm a Christian and I don't want that. Just send them on their way. All kinds of other things. And you say, well, we give out tracts. What if people don't want our tracts? Well, then don't give it to them. There is a difference. Our material's got the gospel in it. So he wanted to cause doubt. He accused God of being selfish. Can you imagine anybody? You remember in the wilderness when they were murmuring against Moses, and they said, God's not being fair to us. This ain't fair. How come God's not? And God said, are you, and I'm paraphrasing, of course, really? I brought you through the Red Sea? I fed you in the wilderness for 40 years? You wore the same suit of clothes all 40 years, and they never wore out, and your shoes never got holes in them. But you try walking in sand for a little while, and you'll get holes in your shoes. I got you across the Jordan River. You got tired of bread, so I sent you quail. You could have a quail sandwich. I destroyed Pharaoh and all of his army. I took you into the promised land. I myself, without you lifting a finger, destroyed seven of the cities in Canaan that were enemies. You never had to fire a shot. I can name some more. I did all of that, and you're telling me I'm not fair? Do you believe it? That's what Satan wants to do. He wants you to forget what he's already done. And here's the mantra of today. What have you done for me lately? What have you done for me today? Really? Do you think it would really take you more than 30 seconds to think about your day today and not be able to find one thing that God did good for you today? And in 30 seconds, you ought to be able to think of a handful of things. Had an hour, you ought to be able to, hey, count your blessings, name them ton by ton. Satan wants to bring doubt to the wisdom of God by accusing him of being selfish. Yeah, even accusing him of being sinful. Because what Satan really told Eve was, God lied to you. God lied to you. So if I was going to be the devil, I guess I'd try to make you think that the one you love a lot doesn't love you the same way. Then notice in that, and I'll hurry along, in Genesis 3, Satan tries and will try to cause discredit in God's Word. That's why all the versions of the Bible. Because it brings discredit. If it doesn't contain the words, then it's not the truth. You think about it, you go into court and you testify. What that little woman over there with that little machine's doing? She is typing down every word you say. Is quoting. When that transcript is finished, it is a quotation. It's not, I think he meant, or I believe she meant. And so there are points in the trial when one of the lawyers or some of the judge may say, call the stenographer or court stenographer, read me back that last bit of testimony. She'll pull that tape out, you know, she knows right where to go, and then she will read. Now it's in, shorthand or hieroglyphics or something, you know. There's no way she could type that fast and type every word, but it's done so that it is exact. And she will then read back the testimony, and it's verbatim. So there can be no doubt that individual said. Well, Satan, you know, he's attacked. It is attacking the Word of God. He said in verse 1, that's where, and I'm not going to read all this, I've read this before, you know, where he told Eve, hey, hath God said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? He didn't say that. He didn't say they could eat of every tree. And Eve caught him on that and said, no, that's not what he said. He said, we eat of every tree except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So then he said, ye shall not surely die. What did God tell them if they ate of that tree in the middle of the garden? They would die. Now, we know that he was speaking of the spiritual death. They did not die physically when they did it, although God could have done that. Do you understand how Satan is trying to discredit what God said? Just enough, and it worked. I mean, they had one rule to keep. There was only two of them. It's not like, you know, somebody said, well, man, you know, I did that, preacher, because of the peer pressure. There weren't any. It was him and her, and he wasn't even around. This was happening somewhere else. So what does he do? He doesn't attack them. There's nothing to attack them for. So what does he do? He attacks God. Discredits. The Bible causes doubt in God's wisdom. Turn to Psalm 133. I want you to see this one here. Psalm 133, page number 664, if you have a Scofield Bible. Psalm 133, actually it's page 665, and look at verse number 1. It's a great verse. You ought to underline this verse. You ought to memorize this verse. Behold. God says, behold. I mean, you get the sense of that word, behold. I mean, it's like something really good is happening, and he wants you to get an eyeful. Behold. Hey, look. You see that? Behold. And it's all in capital letters. When God says something, it ought to be in capital letters. He said, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Isn't it good to come to church and not have to worry about somebody saying something bad about you? We've all been in that place. God's been good to now. I'm not saying it doesn't happen now. But listen, I don't get a sense of that here. I'm grateful for that. How good and pleasant. You know what pleasant means? You could just come to church and say, I'm in the house of God. Had a preacher and his wife. In fact, you ladies were having your ladies' dinner Friday night, and they showed up over here. Bishop Fulton. Anyway, it came back. I met with them yesterday here. They love our church. That's the third church in South Carolina that's going to look like ours. That's the third one. Two in Rock Hill and one on Raven Road. They came in. Said, we want to show them. Man, I'm telling you, all they did, just brag. Oh, and this is the most, God is in this place. And I'm and man, he said, what beautiful people you must have to be able to do something. And I just kept saying, it's the Lord, you know. Well, we stayed here for quite a while, and I showed him everything and told him about some of the stuff, and I even gave him a copy of the plans so they could, you know, do that. But anyway, we got done. Now, their ministry is called the Gift of Life something. If you go up Raven Road right before you get to the railroad tracks at that Wendy, like you're going toward Providence Northeast, you'll look on your right up on the hill. There's a sign that says Future Home of Gold Ministries. And for Gate of Life, something or other. Anyway, that's where they're going to be. So we got done, and I said, Brother, let's pray. Oh, yeah. And his wife, boy, she's right in there too. First Lady Fulton. Yeah. We got together and held hands. I started praying, and Lord God, they got hooked in. Oh, man, I could have prayed for 2 hours with that kind of backup. I'm telling you, listen, the devil wasn't within 500 yards of us. I was praying there, oh, yes, God, yes, Jesus. We were out in the parking lot. I think it stopped that crowd working on the wire out there. I think they know what the world's going on. Boy, we had us a time. And here's what he said. He said, Pastor, he said, we met some of your ladies the other night, and he said, I've never seen a group of people at a church treat each other as good as those women treated each other and treated us. Hallelujah. I like that. Boy, I'd rather him say that than say, boy, we went in there a bunch of heathens, they dancing and singing blue suede shoes. And yeah, no, I guess they were. I don't know. That was later. Okay. Hey. You know what the devil wants to do? I'll give you these quickly. He wants to cause division among the workers. Hey, every one of us are essential to this place. And everybody has a job and a purpose and a plan. You may not be the head lion, but you're just as important as every other lion in the building. And if Satan can cause division, and he's tried and has succeeded to some degree in people's lives, but thank God the gates of hell will never prevail against the church. By how he wants to cause division among the workers, among the leadership and the laity. So isn't it pleasant? Isn't it good to come to church and just say, I'm just glad to be here. Boy, this sure is better than where I was at earlier today. Then, let me give you number four. He wants to cause disloyalty to God's work. Not just disunity in it, disloyalty to it. Now, you folks know, you've heard me say this, church is not the answer. It's not the answer. If church was the answer, membership would get you to heaven. Church is not the answer, but it certainly is the place to find the answer if the church is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so what does God want to do then? He may not be able to strike at the very heart of this work or the periphery of the work itself, but what he'd like to do is cause you and me to be disloyal to the Word of God. If you don't read it faithfully, you'll be disloyal to it. And the more you listen, the more you don't read it, the more you won't want to read it. I find the more you do read it, the more you want to. Disloyalty in our study. Disloyalty in our supplication, our prayer life. Don't pray. Joe Logan said this. He said, a man that doesn't pray privately won't get through publicly. Now, Jesus talked about those Pharisees praying those really fancy prayers. He said, they don't mean a thing. If you don't pray, listen, it's the same way. If you don't pray, you're not going to pray. Disloyalty in our study, in our supplication. Disloyalty in our service. All of a sudden, you don't feel like you want to be part of everything. I'm sorry, folks. God put this in me when he saved me, to be in church and to be involved. I don't go to the ladies' meetings. I'm not a lady. Joaquin does, but I don't. Maybe watch it. I don't know. Ooh-ah. Yeah, just give it out, help them feel better. But everybody here ought to want to be involved in what's going on here. Say, well, it doesn't have a big enough effect. It only doesn't have it when you're not involved. The more people involved in the service of God, the more effect it will have on others. And then there's disloyalty in our stewardship. All of a sudden, giving is not important. All of a sudden, that 10%, you can't. All of a sudden, you've decided that you can't live without that 10% you've been given. I'm telling you now, you will never make it on the 100% that you're trying to spend. I'm telling you. And you folks have really responded well to this promise and all the giving. And you'll see, if you'll get the financial statements, you'll find out. Had the best 5 weeks in a row since we've started financially. When from June until first of this year, we were struggling. The folks have decided, you know what, I'm going to do the right thing. You know what God says? And so am I. That's the way he does. Hey, Satan would like to cause dissatisfaction towards God's will. Now, don't answer. Don't raise your hand or don't. You don't have to answer me publicly. But how many of you have ever really and truly prayed for the will of God for your life? You know why a lot of people don't? Because they're afraid He's going to answer. And they may not like the answer. But I'm telling you, your life outside of the will of God, listen, your life close to the will of God will never be joyous. The only way you'll really find the joy of the Lord is to be smack dab in the middle of God's perfect will. So He wants to cause us to be dissatisfied towards the will of God. He wants our minds to not be on God, but be on pleasure, prosperity, and other people. You know, He would love to create. Listen to me now. I believe the best place for a single young man or young woman to find a mate's in church. But I tell you, if you're not where you need to be with God, Satan will cause you to get hooked up with someone in the church that can distract you. And we'll all think, bless God, that's so-and-so, and they're good young folks, and they're here in the church. But who knows what He's doing with their minds. Come on now. We were always told, don't just date a Christian, date a growing Christian. I think that's right. That's good advice. Satan would love to cause deadness in God's worship. Then come here for a funeral. Amen? Unless it's the devil's. I'll show up for that one. That's not going to happen until Jesus comes back. And by the way, we'll be there for that funeral. We surely will. But he wants to try to pollute our minds, message, the music, and the ministry. You know, just tweak it enough. Oh, yeah, but it'll reach the world. But it won't give them the message. Who cares if we're all in here bumping up and down in our seats and disco lights flashing around and praise and worship band a-bamming on drums and all that stuff? What does that mean if there's nothing behind it? That's like going to a restaurant and looking at the menu and then saying, I'm finished. That was really good. I don't do that. I don't want to go to church and then leave and say, boy, that was good, and still be hungry. I want to go and say it was good, and it was good. I got to come back the next time to get a little more. Talking to somebody, that pastor and his wife yesterday, we were talking. He said, Pastor, let me ask you a question. He said, how many of your folks come back on Sunday night? I said, I'm ashamed to tell you. He said, I bet it's worse on Wednesday night. I said, uh-huh. But I did say this, your credit. I said, but the Wednesday night crowd's the cream of the crop. Aren't you glad you came tonight? You may never come back on Wednesday night, but you've been creamed tonight. Say amen right there. Let me close. What does the devil want to do? He wants to cause doubt in God's wisdom, discredit God's word, division among God's workers, disloyalty to God's work, dissatisfaction towards God's will, deadness in God's worship, and finally, he wants to cause a distraction from God's way. Preaching another gospel by trying to convince people that there are other ways besides the way. Now, folks, I don't know how you can explain around or away, I am the way, truth, and the life. He didn't say, I am way, truth, and life. He said, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. How can you explain around that? That's just about as plain English as it can get. But you know, I can't understand the King James Bible. You can understand that. There's not even the these and thous in there. He was just very plain. Cause distraction from God's way. How? By philosophy or false message. Careful who you listen to. I'm telling you, as your pastor, I'm telling you, I don't know of one TV preacher that's preaching the truth. Not one. Not one. Unless it's a local preacher in a local place that has a local cable station, but we don't have it here in Columbia. So if you listen to the cable preachers on television, I'm telling you, they're not right. Their message is wrong. Their Bible is wrong. Sorry. You say, well, that's being narrow-minded. Well, I guess it is. By philosophy or false message. How do they distract from God's way? By pretending with false profession. Hey, just come down here and pray a prayer. Or, hey, we'll stick a Bible under you. You just pray this prayer real quickly. 1, 2, 3, you're saved. Called easy believism, and that's not the way God intended. The Bible said in John 6:44, no man can come to the Father except the Spirit of God draw him. He must be drawn. A Spirit of the Father draw him. It's called conviction. Amen? You know, somebody's just saying, well, I don't feel good today, so I'll get saved. Guess where they'll be tomorrow? Not in church and feeling bad again because it wasn't real. Because it's easy to talk folks into anything. That's why these cults are flourishing like they are. With the strangest, dumbest stuff and good, intelligent, sane people are falling for it. And we give them the easiest way there is to have eternal life. Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And they look at you like you've got four heads. What? There's got to... If I'm not involved, it can't work. That's why it will never work, because you're involved. Get yourself uninvolved, and you'll find yourself on the right side of God's blessing. And then, of course, this thing of what I call false... by procrastination or false immediacy. You know what the devil would tell folks? He got lots of time. These young folks, how old is Azariah? 3? 5? All right. You man, 5 years old. Now, there is no set age for any child to get saved. You know, the world says 12. Jesus was 12. Catholic Church says you're confirmed at 12, so 12 must be that age of accountability. No, nobody knows that age. Lazariah, he may not totally understand, but who knows, by the time he's 6, he may. Jesus said, suffer the little ones to come to me. In other words, don't hold them back. Somebody said, you know, I don't like my kids going to the altar all the time. Let them come. You'll be grateful the time they come and it's real. I'm telling you. Sure, explain it to them. Sure, you can help them understand. If they don't, then you know that, but you know to pray for them and get them under the gospel, because one time they're going to come forward and know what they're doing. You're going to be grateful when your child is 6 or 7 or 8 years old. I got a friend who got saved at 4 and he's still serving the Lord now. I made a profession when I was 12 and it was false. But you see, age is not the issue. But this thing of, hey, just put it off. You got lots of time. Find a cemetery anywhere. I guarantee you, you'll find tombstones with a death date somewhere in 2019. We're just starting the third month of 2019. And people are going to bed tonight, riding by this church. Somehow the Spirit of God say, you need to go in there. You need to stop here. No, I got lots of time. And I think that's one of the devil's greatest tools, is put it off. Put it off. Live your life. Sow your wild oats. Know what it is to enjoy the things of the world. So when you do get saved, you won't miss them. I've never done them things, and I don't miss them. But I was as lost as any drunkard or dope addict or any. I never did them things and could have. And I don't know why I didn't. I don't. It's the grace of God. That's all I can tell you. The same flesh then that could have, I still have that can now. I can go out and drink if I want to. I just don't want to. I can go out and try drugs if I want to, but I don't want to. Because when I got saved, God changed my want to, thank God, before I ever did. Doesn't make me any better than anybody else, or more saved than anyone else, because all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Don't let the devil talk you out of or into something, because all he's doing, he's just herding you together, though that creeping lion, that roaring, that the devil. Seeking whom he may. He doesn't just want to knock you down or break your leg. He wants to power. Well, that means you're gone. You're gone. They can do it. He can do it. But be careful. Beware. He didn't just say in Psalm 130, behold. Another place he said, beware. Where? When I see a sign, beware of the dog, guess what I do? I beware of the dog. You find out there isn't one. But I'll tell you one thing, it'll make anybody stop and think there might be a dog in there. Right? Amen. So I'm careful. And they say, come on. There's no dog here. Come on in. I don't say, well, what'd you lie to me for? I understand why they did it. Now, I'm more upset when they don't have a sign on the fence and there's a dog in there and I don't know to wait and I go walking in. I'm telling you, folks, if you've got dogs that I'm worried about and I come to visit, I will sit in my car and honk my horn. Be 30 minutes late. He said, where's the preacher at? Boy, he said he's going to be here at 8 o'clock. 8:30, if you hear me honking my horn and you got a chihuahua in your yard, until I know he's going to be okay with me, I'm not coming in. I've been dog bit knocking on doors. And listen, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you. So then why is it we let the devil attack us? And we either fight him off or fail. And God restores us. And here he comes again. We let him in. Really? Why would you do that? I don't know. It's the way humans are, I guess. Hey, be careful. You go out of this place and teach these kids and your grandchildren. Teach them about the devil, that he's a wicked, ugly individual.
He's not a guy in a red suit with a pitchfork and a tail. Sometimes he'll be the prettiest looking girl on television or the prettiest looking man out of the job. And all he's trying to do is tempt you into being devoured. He can do it. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you so much for this time together. Lord, I so love being here. I do. I love being here. I know the folks probably love to hear, and we try to have other preachers in so they can hear their viewpoints and as God leads others. But, Lord, I love being the pastor here. I do. I love it. I don't want to be anywhere else. I don't want to go anywhere else. This is where I belong, and I'm so grateful, so grateful. And then when folks outside the church come in and talk about the people here and how good they are and how they came up on the property and felt the Spirit of God, On a Tuesday afternoon, when nobody was here but me, I'm glad God's always here. This is the house of God. And they said, preacher, when we drove up in the yard Friday, when we came up today, preacher's wife said we could feel the presence of the Lord. Thank God for that. That's what we want. But we also know that lurking the perimeter is the devil, is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. God, help us to beware of his devices. The Word of God tells us what to look for. And so that's what we should be looking for. And when we see those things, we ought not to try to explain them away or say, well, you know, that I can handle that. And before we know it, we're on the ground being devoured. Oh, God, protect my folks. Protect my people. Protect my young people. Protect my little kids. Protect my senior citizens. Lord, don't let them get devoured. I've heard so many stories and know so many young people and people who have turned from God and allowed themselves to be devoured and died prematurely or totally out of the will of God, put on a shelf, not being used of God, just so unhappy. I don't want to get that way. I don't want to see any of my people that way. So God, help those of us that can to cry out, spare not, lift up our voice like a trumpet and be a warning. Watch out! Here comes the devil! Watch out! And then help those of us that hear the warning to heed the warning. Thank you for this time together. Bless the invitation in Christ's name. Amen.